Well, we just had to cut it off when Miles enters the room. But we got a pretty good introduction by way of John Coltrane. That's titled Straight No Chaser. It's one of the classics of jazz, and that was recorded in 1958. As I said, Coltrane is on tenor sax, Miles Davis is on trumpet, Julian Cannonball Adderley is on alto sax, Red Garland on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and Philly Joe Jones on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. For those of you joining us for the first time, welcome, a very warm welcome to you. And here's what's been happening for quite a while now. We suspend our Friday format, our regular format, I should say, on Fridays, and instead open up the forum. Actually, we create a public forum in which people present issues that they think deserve a major coverage, or maybe it is about something that they feel very strongly about and they have an opinion about it and would like to share it. That's what Free Your Mind Friday is all about. The thing that I ask, though, is that you be mindful of the time that you take on air, because a lot of people typically try to get in on Friday, and we have sometimes a traffic a bottleneck, and it's largely because people are not prepared to present their point of view in an organized fashion, so a lot of time is taken by meandering off course. So we have to tighten that up. You should have a strong opinion about something. Whatever it is, it ought to be a considered opinion, and you should have your thoughts organized. You know how it works. Organized thought is very helpful, so that you don't meander all over the place and then I have to find Boy Scouts to go out in the woods to find you because you're lost. Okay, so that's the point of Free Your Mind Friday, and it gives an opportunity to loosen up a bit and not stick to any particular theme or subject, but instead to open up the arena for discussion, and that's where you come in. Hopefully you have a strong opinion about something. And of course, we observe all the rules of good broadcasting. You don't cuss people's grandmothers out. You don't kick the cat. You behave yourself. All right. The number to call is 888-874-4888. And we begin now with Harvey from Berkeley. How are you doing, Harvey?
Very good, and hello, most excellent Eutrice.
Hello, most excellent Harvey. How are you? How's everything going up by you?
Things are going okay. It's cooled down a bit. The fires have stopped pretty much, and the air is getting cleaner. So we're just thankful for this. So today I'd like to talk about why I feel that it's so important that we vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris instead of Donald Trump and Mike Pence in the up-and-coming election. And there are so many reasons to vote for Joe and Kamala, but I'd like to focus on what I consider one of the most important...
By the way, it's Kamala.
Kamala, yes.
Yes.
But I'd like to focus on what I consider one of the most important issues of our time, and that's the ongoing devastation which is being caused by ocean rise. Here's a short list of the problems that we Americans face because of the rapid melting of our planet's polar ice caps and worldwide glaciers due to our relentless burning of fossil fuels that are heating up our Mother Earth at an unsustainable rate. Number one, we will lose trillions of dollars of coastal infrastructure as well as both private and commercial properties due to rising ocean levels. One example is some of San Francisco Airport's runways would be covered by seawater as the Pacific Ocean rises. Second, sea rise will inundate our coastal city sewer systems, which will back up into our streets, creating a horrible stench as well as very unsanitary conditions. Toilets in many of our coastal cities and areas will not function. And if you want to get more information on why toilets will stop working, go to Google or your favorite search engine and enter the words toilets and ocean rise and hit the search button and start reading the articles. Here's one of the headlines. Climate change may take away your ability to flush the toilet. A new United Nations report states that rising sea levels could render as many 60 million toilets inoperable in the United States alone, as traditional septic systems are threatened by an increase in groundwater due to rising sea levels. Additionally, our coastal city septic systems that process human waste will not function because the living enzymes that detoxify the fecal matter will be killed by invasive salty water, and untreated fecal matter contains disease-causing germs and parasites. Coastal cities like New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco will have to deal with their subway systems being flooded by rising oceans, which has already happened in New York due to strong storm surges. And our coastal water aquifers, which supply fresh, clean drinking water as well as irrigation water for crops, will be inundated by sea rise, which will accelerate saltwater intrusion into our freshwater aquifers, rendering the water undrinkable and poisonous to crops. Ocean rise could flood California's central growing valley, which supplies America with a vast amount of vegetables, fruits, and nuts. This would cause the central growing valley to become an inland sea. It also turns out that Americans' coastal nuclear power plants were not designed to handle sea rise, which would lead to many of them being shut down, creating power blackouts. For more information, go to Google and other search engines of your choice and enter the words ocean rise and nuclear power plants. And just as millions of people along the Gulf Coast are bracing for and fleeing Hurricane Delta, it's expected to make landfall in Louisiana this Friday afternoon. Devastating sea rise will create a vast number of climate catastrophe refugees that will be forced to abandon their coastal cities and head inland towards central states, which won't be ready for the influx of millions of sea rise refugees. So we need to fortify our coastal cities and switch away from fossil fuels like coal, oil, methane, and nuclear towards the various forms of renewable energy and battery technology, which will create millions of new jobs while slowing sea rise. Unfortunately, President Trump and his Republican administration, who are a wholly owned subsidiary of the fossil fuel industry. I'm almost finished here. It's a subsidiary of the fossil fuel industry. Will not
do. It's unusual for you. You're usually very concise. Go ahead.
Again, unfortunately, President Trump and his administration will not do what is necessary to save us from this horrible fate of ocean rising, and that'll destroy our coastal areas. And that's why it's so important to do the right thing and vote the Biden-Harris ticket, so that America stands a fighting chance of surviving this ocean rise catastrophe. And I want to thank you once again for letting me say it, Eutrice.
Oh, thank you for calling it in and letting us know that we always have to be vigilant, especially when storms are forecast, as they are right now. And you also have to look out for the ancillary effects as well. Thank you so much. Bill from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Hello. What are you freeing your mind of today?
I have to call in on the topic of the hour, the topic of the month, the topic of the year, which is the election coming up, which is shortly ahead. And although I have a tremendous respect for Harvey, I'll give the reasons why it is not important to vote for Joe Biden. starting with, based on his history, based on his record, there is no evidence whatsoever that Joe Biden will be any better on the environment or global warming or against geoengineering any more than Trump. I mean, he just recently came out with the "I will not ban fracking." So there's no evidence that he is any kind of improvement whatsoever. No evidence. And there's a lot of evidence. He has a 47-year career, and there's nothing in that 47-year career that says he'll be any better. So I don't know why we should expect that he will be. There are people that have called in this week to comment about how Joe Biden is weak, and therefore we will have the opportunity for him to listen to us. But I would count it that Joe Biden is weak, and that's why he listens to them. He does not listen to us. He listens to his wealthy donors and only does what they want him to do, which is immediately evidenced by 80% of the Democratic electorate wanting health care for all, Medicare for all, 80%, and Joe Biden saying, no, you can't have that. He's not supposed to have the right to have his own opinion. He is supposed to be a representative of the people, of his voters. He's supposed to do whatever his voters want. He's not supposed to be able to say, yeah, all my voters want it, but I don't. And why doesn't he? There's only one reason, because the people that are giving him money don't want it. So he's not going to listen to us because he's weak. He listens to them. Third reason, we need to build a third party, fourth party, fifth party. And how do you do that? You can't do that by saying, well, we can't win, so why vote for them? You can't build anything that way. That would be the same as an NFL team saying, well, we can't win the Super Bowl this year, so we're not playing any games. You can't do that. You have to build a champion. You have to have a losing season, then a break-even season, then a winning season, then a championship. That's the only way that a championship is built. So you can't say, well, we can't win this year, so we're not going to vote. We have to have alternatives to the duopoly. We have to. And especially for young people, you know, older people could say, well, it won't be within my lifetime. But young people especially, they can see a third party, a fourth party, a fifth party in their lifetime. So it's especially important for them to vote for the party that can't win this year but can win down the road. That's how any championship is built. And doing the same thing, I've said this before, doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result is the definition of insanity. So this voting for the lesser of two evils over and over again, voting for the Democratic Party, which you know will give you nothing, and expecting, well, this time they'll give us something, it's insanity. It's not going to happen. And just one point on some people called in earlier this week and talked about how, you know, people in the country are stupid and how you have a problem with the word stupid. I do as well, and I don't think it's the right word. I think the right word is ignorant. The people are ignorant.
Yes, I would prefer the word ignorant, not stupid.
Yes. Yeah, it's not they're stupid. They're ignorant. They're purposely kept ignorant. And they have their, you know, survival needs where they can't really research. I mean, not everybody's listening to PRN and really researching. So they're going with what the mainstream tells them, and it keeps you ignorant. And we have to make a move outside of this just going along and believing that, well, we want a third party, we want this, we want that, but not this time. This time is too important. they'll always tell you this time is too important. The next time will be too important, and the next time will be too important. At some point, you have to take a stand and go for what you want. You will never get what you want if you don't go for what you want. It doesn't just happen.
Well, thank you, Reverend Bill. A very, very fitting gospel for today. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your call. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice, and to your listening audienceship.
Good afternoon to you.
It seems like we're moving forward in whatever direction it will be till November 3rd. Then once November 3rd is here and done with, we then move forward to November 4th when all the games will begin. My prediction is that Joe Biden will win the popular vote and that Donald Trump will win the presidency through the Supreme Court. Unless Biden just has a overwhelming victory in every state and wins the Electoral College by a big margin. It can be a one or two state thing because basically Trump will then use the courts. At that time, if he does win the election by the courts, it will just be business as usual. If he doesn't win the election by the courts and loses to Joe Biden fair and square, then it's no telling what may happen in this country.
Well, when you say fair and square, I'm a bit surprised considering we have had ample evidence so far that it just won't be fair and square.
Yeah, well, the only way he can win it fair and square is by just beating them with strong face value of the votes and winning it through the Electoral College on, one would say, November 3rd. And not having the absentee ballots that much in play and the recount of those ballots. Because
there's so much wrong, is what I'm trying to say. I mean, there is ample evidence that in this election, we should anticipate all hell and damnation because there's going to be the question of missing ballots, destroyed ballots, people who would claim that, or people who would insist on seeing evidence that they have voted because they don't trust the people tallying the votes. There's so much wrong already. So I don't know if we can wait until, or if it is going to be the case that we will all have to wait until the courts sort it out. I think much of it has been sorted out already. Don't you?
Well, I would agree to a certain extent, but it has to play out. But the things that I'm more concerned with is what just happened in Michigan yesterday. This whole arrest and indictment of these so-called militias and individuals that, you know, he basically told them to stand by and wait for my orders to do what you have to do. There's a lot of groups out there like that that put people like you and myself in danger.
Because there is no proof.
You're wrong. You're wrong.
There's a suspicion that there's a link between what Trump had said to stand by or stand down and the attempt to kidnap and possibly assassinate the governor of Michigan. Gretchen Whitmer. But we don't have any proof as such. We have plausible links. We have people conjecturing, including Whitmer. But there is no solid connection yet made.
Yeah, but the connection is there's groups out there that are thinking like that. So when you have groups out there thinking like that,
and that's a key word. Even if they are thinking like that, that's what they're doing at the moment, thinking. When you get into the idea of equating a thought with an act.
What also comes planning. So they're thinking, they're planning, and they're waiting what they perceive to be orders to attack the American public.
We don't know. Here's the thing. You speak with a 100% certainty. And I'm saying,
Look at history. What do history tell us? What do history tell us? Ku Klux Klan? What do history tell us how the Ku Klux Klan was?
You're making leaps. And I have to caution about that because it may be very different from what it is you're saying. It may be a whole different group. It may be a collection of groups. We don't know yet what the formation is here. And we should at least wait until those people who gather intelligence and who would be able to tell the nation a bit more will do so and can do so. But until then, let's not conjecture and let's not rush to judgment, even though it is very tempting.
So what you're saying is that we as a people...
No. But you don't have to translate what I'm saying. I'm saying
this is what I'm saying. I'm saying to all of the people out there, please place yourself and your family in the position to protect yourselves for the evil that awaits us. Any way this goes, there's going to be evil because there's going to be a lot of people in this country based on the crises that we are in with this pandemic and the economic imbalance that's going on, that's going to act in some very serious and strange ways to protect their interests in their country. And always remember, in this country, the interest is whiteness, nothing else but whiteness.
What I'm pointing to is that this is how these movements begin. When people promulgate things that they can't prove. But it sounds plausible. It sounds actionable. It sounds real. But at the same time, you cannot prove anything that you have just stated will happen. And so
it's not an
alarmist view. Not that it is wrong to be alarmist about it, but let's just take it bit by bit and see where the pieces fall. And what is the formation?
So what you're saying is we as a community and as a people should wait to be attacked by these savages.
Don't tell me what I'm saying. I am saying.
Yeah, but that's what you're implying. That's what you're implying.
Okay, the conversation is ended. Nobody shouts at me. Nobody. I come from a household. I was raised in a household with 8 men. I know the species quite well. You don't come on this program and raise your voice like you're talking to some person you just met out in the street. I'm in charge of this program. And I'm saying to you, I understand the concerns. And they're logical concerns based on history. But even logical concerns are not fact in the current situation. They may be a precursor. They may be an indication of how things went in the past. Fine. But the right attitude to take right now is to be intelligent about how we approach these things and not alarm our own community without having definitive information and proof. Because that is what is going to provoke the whole conflagration. Just observe, take note, and I think your advice is sound about being alert. But let's not forecast, and let's not tell people things are happening even now. And there's going to be a big conflagration that will happen next Tuesday at 4 o'clock. Let's not do that. That wouldn't be responsible to do. All right, Duke from New Jersey, Jersey City to be specific.
In a house. Can you hear me?
Yes, in the house.
You can hear me okay?
Yes, if you could speak a little louder, it would help. But I can.
Okay, I'm talking in the ham piece now. Okay, I'm going to go quick. You know, I was going to call in today and try to impress you and be kind of like Harvey from Berkeley and be organized and make my point and all. And then Bill called and just got my blood boiling so much.
Bill do to get your blood boiling?
You hear this piece of paper that I'm moving around. I don't know if you can hear. That's my New Jersey mail-in ballot. Okay? I'm looking at the thing. And the only thing on this ballot is the president, the senator, House of Representatives, freeholder. And then on the backside, there's a couple of there's three other questions. One about legalization of cannabis, peacetime for veterans. Okay, irrelevant stuff. I'm going to say this now. This is not even why I called, but I just to Bill in Jersey, to Ed in Jamaica, to Henry in Chicago, and all of these people like that who want to strategize 3 weeks before the election, please just take your pen and fill in the little hole that says Joe Biden and just send the daggone thing in. What Jay just said is absolutely...
I don't appreciate the arguments that they made.
I don't...
What do you
I
think
don't,
of the arguments that they made?
The arguments that they made are 100% legitimate, but strategically, it's not the time to do that. The whole goal right now is to get Donald Trump off the scene, period. There's nothing else that matters.
Well, you're saying you can't walk and chew gum at the same time.
Yes, and this in this three-week period,
it's possible to do.
No.
Why should they have to prioritize one action over another if they feel as strongly as they do? They're making the case that it is possible if people put their minds to it, you accomplish both goals. If you have a strategic plan to do it.
You won't. In this particular case, you know, when you were talking about Barack Obama and, what was his name? And the two candidates that he ran against, okay, Romney and the other guy, McCain, you could talk all of that talk. This is a whole different level. I mean, this is like a whole different level. And if Biden doesn't have an overwhelming wave of support, there is no way that Trump is going to leave that White House. No way. Even if Biden wins.
Let me ask you this question frankly. Does Biden deserve overwhelming support?
No, he does not deserve overwhelming support. I'm going to make that clear. I've said that to you multiple times when I've called.
Yes.
He does not.
Yes.
That's not the point.
But does that not make you, does that not make you shoot yourself in your own head?
No, no.
If you are voting, why not just say it is possibly equally effective to not vote at all?
Because by not voting at all, you're going to guarantee that Trump not only stays in the White House, but comfortably stays in the White House, because he's going to stay in there thinking that he's got a mandate. I mean, in the case with Hillary, okay, Hillary had the popular vote. She at least has that feather in her cap. But so what? She still lost. In this particular case,
and
we
want to have lost. I have argued that she should have lost this race.
I agree with that. But in this particular case, in order to make Trump see that he has to be, or to make the Republican Party see that Trump has to be removed from the scene, the support behind Biden has to be so overwhelming. That is no question. Because you're right. You already know what's going to happen on the 3rd and the 4th. I mean, there's going to be all kind of contested. It's going to be a mess. And so at least if the media and the numbers are showing that the American public overwhelmingly supported Biden, especially in those battleground states, but not only in the battleground states, even in a blue state like New York, if the wave is so overwhelming, then at least Trump can't stay there and say, I have a mandate, and just forget about all of these questions about the ballots and this and that. I won. The issue is over, and I'm in, you know, and I'm Mussolini, and I'm in charge.
Now, is this the only scenario that you think will work, or have you thought about other ways of achieving the same objective?
There's no other way that can be put into effect in 3 weeks. There is no other way. It's very clear at this point. There has to be an overwhelming wave of support for Biden and the Democrats, or the first week after November 3rd, we're going to be in a whole lot of trouble. And if you think the situation that just happened in Michigan, that's just the tip of the iceberg. What Jay is saying is absolutely right.
I keep saying these things as if we have no sense of history. These things have happened in greater gravity before.
Yeah, but we would have to go. We would have
history.
Yes, but we would have to go.
Let us refrain from suggesting that it would be something new.
It will not be new. It's not something new. But in modern times, you now would have a president who was saying, well, some of these people are good people. Oh, well, these people were planning to kidnap the governor of a state and do God knows what. And the president will probably come out and say, well, some of them were good people. In modern times,
I'm paying attention to your theory. And have you thought it out? I don't know whether you have. I'm sure you've given some thought. Is it the only solution that you see right now?
Yes. Right now, 3 weeks ahead of the election. You know, when we were back in the primary, the Democratic primary, before we reached South Carolina, that's when Ed in Jamaica and Henry in Chicago and Bill in New Jersey should have been talking that kind of stuff. That's when they should have been saying that.
In South Carolina, how Biden himself became a candidate, a bona fide candidate. He was dead in the water until South Carolina.
Absolutely.
His candidacy was literally created by I'm forgetting his name now, the congressman. And
Clyburn. Clyburn.
Yes, Clyburn.
That's right.
So he had no chance.
You're absolutely right.
That was created in South Carolina.
You're absolutely right. And that's okay. And that's when Ed in Jamaica and Bill in New Jersey should have been using the strategy that they're talking about using now. They should have been saying that and making people think it. But at this moment, 3 weeks away from counting the tally, that strategy is dead.
Well, you never know. You never know until other people inspect your theory.
Listen, Eugene.
But I thank you very much for offering it, and I think you make some sense, but I think you also have to rethink. If it doesn't go your way, your theory, in other words, if it doesn't go that way, you leave us no workable option. And that bothers me. We should always have some other option that could work if we find ourselves in a jam, don't you think? Okay, she's gone. Gwen from New York, you're on the air. How you doing?
Hi, Utrecht. I am Hi. Okay. Beautiful day here in New Jersey. And I just wanted to follow up and say I agree with the last caller. I listen to a lot of people on the left. I hear constantly, we don't expect the Green Party to win, but, we want to stay with our ideals. And, I don't know how to stress to people. This guy is really dangerous. This is not the same. I did not vote for Hillary Clinton last time. I voted for the Green Party. I did everything I think his name Ed said to do. But you know what? Trump has proven who he is. And by the way, he did say when they had their first gun rally in the state of Michigan, Trump went on and said, free Michigan. Now, you're never going to hear Trump probably come out until after the election, maybe, and say, declare a civil war with your neighbor. You're probably not going to get that clarity. But there are definitely dog whistles. And I think that it is stunning to hear him say the things that he does. And the people that are listening for the dog whistles are hearing
stunned?
What they want to hear.
I am stunned that you are stunned. I was talking about this 4 years ago.
I agreed with you then. I agreed with you then.
Was
right.
That he has Great. Several screws loose in his head.
Right.
I've been talking about this for 4 years.
Right. Well, listen, had a very measured vote 4 years ago. I absolutely knew that Hillary was going to take New York, and I absolutely voted my conscience. But we're in a different ballgame now. Now I know.
People, be careful about this pro-Hillary Clinton vote. We did a whole series on the criminality that she has been involved in.
Involved in
she and her husband with the Clinton Foundation. Mm-hmm. We did program after program laying out the crimes committed by the Clinton Foundation.
Right.
And still people set that aside and said, it couldn't be that bad, or I don't believe that. So you wonder what would it take for people just to listen?
Well, I think that a lot of people did listen. I listened to your program, and I decided not to vote for Hillary Clinton. It was, I didn't vote for her. I wasn't voting for Trump, but I voted in a safe way. And I also knew that Trump was crazy. But, until you actually live it, I think that it's what's stunning for me is to hear people actually call up, still in this very laid-back tone of voice, like he hasn't really done anything that's so bad yet. So let's go ahead and, not vote for Biden and just let Trump win. Let's just see where it takes us. And, I think that is naive and innocent.
I think you're right.
Naive and innocent.
And that's why I began the process 4 years ago.
Right. But,
to give
and here
people
we are.
The option
and here
to
we are.
Do the research
but,
and to find out exactly who is who and what is what. And you had 4 years to come to this point now and act as if you just realized, you know, oh my God.
Well, I hope you're not talking about me because I voted. I worked for Bernie Sanders during these last 4 years, right up to the primary, and was extremely disappointed. I didn't think that I would vote for Joe Biden. I had
and that's another
a lot
example.
Of,
didn't
lot
I
of,
warn
of,
listeners about Bernie Sanders?
Yes, you did.
Okay. I rest my case.
But
the information was not available. People were not interested in hearing it, let alone actualizing it. I called it. I called it right on the nose. With Clinton, Bill, and Hillary. I called it with Joe Biden. And people just actually got angry. Why are you talking about him that way? He's the only chance we have. That's because you weren't listening and you weren't prepared to do anything about it. So here we end up. And people now are in a quandary talking about, oh my God, did you hear what Trump said? I told you that 4 years ago. I did several programs on that. I did enough
sure
education about
point,
Trump's psychological state. And now people are acting like they're hearing this for the first time. Or they're so absolutely shocked that these things have come to light.
Well, that I wanted, and now the candidate that I didn't want is there. However, I am really afraid of what's going to happen down the road with Trump, and not too far down the road, because as
and
I said,
it is
my sister called yesterday. They're preparing for martial
that
law.
We are now gripped with fear because we think it is very possible that what we did not want to happen, in fact, might happen. And we have no response for it. We have no defense against it.
I think the ramparts are
weak. It's a justifiable fear. But we can't say we didn't know. Or we didn't think it would happen. It's happening. You were warned.
So are you saying we should go ahead and vote for Trump because we were warned? I mean, I'm not voting for Trump because I was warned.
No,
I'm saying you have to
figure it out yourself, as you should have a while ago. What is the alternative? We are clear that it is very
late right now
to come up with a plan that would give you the benefit of advantage. We've lost the advantages that we had. And the alternative is just not workable. It doesn't sound workable. So
I think there are some alternatives from where I sit and see. I don't think that, I think there's so much cynicism and negativity on the left that, you know, it's so comfortable to be that way that people enjoy it more than thinking that maybe something else could happen. And I don't think that I am naive and innocent in telling you this, that Joe Biden is not going to serve any more than one term. He has nothing to lose by allowing this, by allowing us to have. Let me finish, Patrice. I just want to get a couple of thoughts across, okay? I just think that he doesn't have anything to lose at this point by letting us have national health care. They've already put out a single payer thing. They're already rolling back Medicare to age 16. No, this is not. This is 10% of what we need, but it's a start. And the other thing that I have to say, when I said he was weak the other day, I mean that I definitely think that the group on the left, the grassroots left, is very strong and getting stronger. And I think that it would not be a hard thing to knock over the target and maybe get some of the things that we want. But either way, If you're telling me that I should have Trump and go into civil war because I couldn't get the health care plan that I wanted, then I'm going to tell you that's not really one of my choices, okay? And if you're telling me that I should go ahead and vote for the Green Party right now because I have to do the pure thing, it's in the essence of my soul, would I, instead of voting to save my life, I think that you're wrong. And I do think that my life is at risk because I think anybody who's an activist who's been out there is definitely has an X on their back. And I do know for a fact that Hitler came along one day and there were lots of people that didn't take him seriously. Why do you think he got in office? So Trump is right now preparing for martial law. He's training people for martial law, which means they're going to come down on us, the left. And I just think that I don't need to have my piety or my, you know, purity so badly that I would get run over by the Trump truck. And I think that's common sense.
I mean, I understand your position. At the same time, I can't say that I have great sympathy.
Well, you don't have to. Not for me.
No, don't take it that personally. It's not about you. It's about a general statement of there are people doing the work.
Yes.
There are people who are trying to bring to the masses' attention the risk we are running if we do nothing. But we did nothing. Mm-hmm. We have done nothing. What happens when you do nothing.
I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. But, you know, I think somebody told me yesterday that no revolution has ever happened until they take away the right to vote. That's what happened in Cuba, that when Batista finally took away the right to vote, then the revolution happened. So it's interesting. We're getting closer and closer to a revolution or civil war. I don't know. But I you were talking about ignorance before, too, and I think there's so much ignorance in American people.
This is intentional ignorance. People don't have to be ignorant.
Absolutely. You don't have to. You chose to be. That's right.
Begin to organize.
It was comfortable.
It's
very comfortable to be
this kind of ignorance intentionally by default. Mm-hmm. We do nothing. We do nothing with the intelligence that we have. We do nothing with the intelligence that we are given. We do not organize our communities. Now is when people are starting to freak out. I'm not freaking out. I told people this 4 years ago. And I told them several times in different ways. That story was running for a long time.
Just going.
So I am not part of the excited ones who are realizing now that it is practically way too late to react or to organize.
Well, can I just ask you one question?
Sure.
Did you get a little excited yesterday when you heard that they were going to kidnap the governor of Michigan? That was a little exciting. I mean, that's pretty.
That was a little, we saw signs.
That got my attention.
We saw the signs.
Absolutely.
And it's a matter
of signs,
across,
you know,
the board,
and actually having it.
People are not reacting appropriately to clear and evident signs about things. Trump didn't just creep into our consciousness. He didn't tiptoe into our consciousness. He's been there. We've known Trump for a long time.
We still have people that even listen to the show, though, that don't think that Trump is that harmful. So they actually don't think he's harmful, and they won't see him as being harmful until maybe they have a gun in their face. Maybe then they'll think that Trump is harmful. But many people, no matter how much you talk about how harmful he is, how crazy he is, they dismiss you when you say it. They don't think you're right. They call up the show and they tell us that, you know, he's bad, but he's not really that bad. And it's just a lot of wind. He's just, you know, he's just a lot of bravado. Really? Well, maybe Trump himself is not picking up a gun. But it's not like he's not giving the dog whistle sign for others that are very weak in the mind to go ahead and pick up a gun and do my work for me. They think they're doing great things for their chosen leader. And I'm in a place.
Optimistic. I'm to eternally, with all the things that I know, that mm-hmm. should cause me to say, ah, the hell with it. I'm going to go to the beach. I still am optimistic that people have not lost their fighting spirit.
I agree. But understand what you fight for.
Organize something in their collective self-defense, and that we should get to this business yesterday. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Gwen. Good to hear from you today.
Thank you.
Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Utrecht, how's it going?
Okay. I'm hanging in.
All right. I'm hanging in, too. Wasn't playing the call, but I heard my name.
Both annoy our enemies by surviving.
I wasn't playing the call, but I heard my name in the conversation. So I wanted to appropriately respond. And Utrecht, I really, really love what you said to that last caller, because I wanted to bring up, now, I've been listening to this show for the last 6 years, and I specifically remember a topic that you had about Barack Obama, and it was talking about, you know, how, I take this as a case, we as black people gave Barack Obama a pass, and we did not challenge him to do anything for us, and he, as a result, he didn't do anything for us. So
exactly.
I remember
he did exactly as we wanted.
I think that started the precedent of what is happening now. Because I remember raising that point, saying that if we don't challenge Barack Obama now to do something for us, and I said this specifically, the next president that comes in after him is going to be 10 times worse. And then when 2016 came around and I saw Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump on the ballot, I started to say to myself, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but I said, wow, what I just actually said is starting to come to fruition. Because to me, even if Hillary Clinton would have won, it still would have been 10 times worse than what Barack Obama has come. Now, Trump is 20 times worse, but at the same time, worse is worse. And so I love what you said to that last caller about why are we starting to panic now when we could have had this issue dead back in Barack Obama's administration. We don't challenge any of our political people that we elect to do something for us. And then the next person that comes along thinks that they can do anything, like a guy like Donald Trump. And one more thing, too. Before Dr. Frances Quest Welsing died, she made a prediction in 2015 of December that Donald Trump was going to be the next president. That was one of her last presentations at Howard University, and people were like wondering if she was crazy. But it doesn't look like she was as crazy as it seemed, even though that was 2015, because a lot of us thought that Donald Trump was not going to win. And look what happened. So I totally agree with you. It is too late. It doesn't matter who I vote for, because whoever comes in office next, these next 4 years are going to be hard. It's going to be very hard, whoever wins.
Well, thank you. Says the voice of reason from Chicago. Thanks for your call today. Thank you. Dave from Brooklyn, you're on the air. Okay. We lost Dave. All right. Lincoln from Mount Vernon, you're on the air.
Hi. Good day, Utrecht.
Hello. We're running a little tight on time, just so you know.
I agree with Bill from, I think, Bill from New Jersey. Totally. And I also want to tell Harvey of California, the greatest threat to us presently is not the environment, but a possible World War III. I also want to say, you said that Trump is missing a few screws. And if he is, It's interesting that he hasn't taken the country to war like Obama, who took the country to seven wars, and Bush, who took them to 11, and no one said that they were losing a screw.
So far, I know he hasn't conducted overt war, but make no mistake about it. This administration, like most other administrations, have been involved in covert warfare.
He hasn't killed millions of people like none of them. Obama killed millions. Bush killed millions. Not only that, Obama destroyed a country, him and Hillary. And I find it interesting that we are talking about universal health care, etc., and this country destroyed. Biden's administration, Biden was in, and what he supported, destroyed a country, an African country, Libya, which was the exemplary government of what a country should do for its people. And we are so oblivious to that. Now, we still want to support this man who was involved with the destruction of an African nation. I don't understand where we are coming from. And one of Trump did not cause this present problem. What caused the problem was that we did not accept his victory of the election. Look at Gore. When Gore, the election was stolen from Gore, and people eventually accepted it, but they never did that to Trump. And the most important thing that Trump said was Russia and the USA should get along. And everyone, even people in this forum, attacked him for that. And we're talking, what is going on right now is not because of Trump. It's going on because the Democratic Party and many of us continue to demonize the guy for the things he was trying to do. And because we refuse to accept his victory.
Oh, well, I could see a heated debate coming up next week. I could see a heated one coming up next week on this very question, because I think there would be people who would disagree strongly with your premise. But it would be good to hear both sides. I'd be excited to hear that. So let's make a date for next week when we get exactly into the issue that you posed today and see who could take you on and argue the opposite. But I want to thank you. We just are out of time, Lincoln. Don't take it personally. I always find a way to make up for things when we are under the crunch and we have to make a decision to end the program because we're just out of time. I know you understand. So next week, we're coming to your topic. I hope you will be prepared. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. I thank you. I always say it. I am so thankful for your input and for your involvement. I'm so proud of the caliber of your input and what you give so freely, and it makes me very, very hopeful about retrieving some of the time and space that we have lost. So thank you so much. Surround yourselves this weekend with people who bring positive dimension into your life, and find some couple of minutes to snooze, rest yourself, and be ready for next week.